Hey, what's up, guys? Malcolm Stewart. You're listening to an MX Vice post-race podcast presented by Seven.
Malcolm Stewart, GP of Lombardia. I guess before we go any further, we need to clear a few things up because I've had a ton of tweets saying you're here because you want an MXGP deal, you're coming to Europe, you're going to race here. That's not it at all, is it?
No. I stopped at a shop in Gurney. I had the opportunity to come see the factory in Italy. So the fact that I got to see that, how boots are actually handmade, and it's pretty cool to me. And I never would have thought there'd be 218 pieces for one boot. So to see all that is pretty cool. Then Italy, where I was is not too far for the GP. So I said, why not kill two birds in one stone? I actually never seen an actual GP in Europe before. The first Jeep I ever got to see was in Charlotte, which is last year. So the fact that I came out here and killed two birds in one stone is awesome. And it's cool. Man, Italy, it's awesome. Good pizza. I can tell you that. Pizza's awesome.
What were, your first impressions of the event? Is there one thing about the presentation or anything like that that kind of stands out?
Everything stands out, man. It's totally different. It's a lot different than the U.S., just the way how they set up the mechanics area and how they, even how they even prep the track. It's a totally different vibe. It actually reminds me of a little bit of when I go to Paris and I do, races in Paris and Switzerland and stuff like that. But just on a bigger scale. And it's cool. The rider, these guys are fast, it's cool to see how fast these guys are going because it makes me want to step my game up.
So let's turn back the clock a little bit and cover Supercross. Last time I spoke to you was Milestone just before A2. How did you feel like it all went? Obviously, you had certain goals. You had high points, low points. What did you kind of think of it all?
To be honest, I think it was a pretty successful year. The fact that I finished all 15 rounds, I skipped the first two, obviously, but I got to do all every race that I attended to, I was supposed to do. So I finished, and I'm happy with it. Of course, we had some up and down season. There were some things that were behind the scenes that didn't necessarily go as planned, and we struggled on certain areas. But I kept a pretty positive face, and we kept working. And my heat races, that was crazy. The heat races was like a full-on main event. It was pretty crazy the fact that you only had four people to qualify out of the heat race, so nobody wanted to go to the semis, so it was like death row out there. But it was cool. I had fun, qualified at some heat races, and I had some decent finish. Not all my rounds were good, but the fact that I went out there and I was still beating some factory riders at the end of the day on my worst day, I can't be mad at myself. It's a blessing in disguise for that the fact that I was able to do it and finish the season.
I guess to show that you can do it in heat races is kind of what you want, because you've shown teams, pundits, everyone that the speed's there. And jumping in halfway through a season or after a couple of rounds is always going to be difficult, so building that fitness up must have been tough when the other guys had been racing.
Of course, yeah. I know coming into season for sure I wasn't ready, and I'll fully admit that. I won't deny that at all. It's when you're not ready, especially if the season's not. The season came. I was sitting on the couch in Anaheim once. There's a difference between training off the bike, but you got to have that training on the bike, and you got to race yourself in shape. But it was a lot more tougher, especially with it wasn't just 20 laps. With some races we were due. 26 laps because of 20, it was 20 minutes now. So it was hard to actually try to calculate that and try to be in shape for that because the track was changing constantly. And I felt like everybody was step ahead of me just because they already had prep time. So it was hard to, it was like play catch up, but I did the best I could. I finished 15th this season. Yeah, it wasn't the best, but I finished, and I definitely expect myself, if I'm in a situation again next year, I'll definitely prepare myself a lot more better.
Obviously, you're a set-up truck and everything looked very factory, but the bike itself was quite close to a privateer machine, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was not really much support on it. I spent 50 grand in motors and stuff with suspension. I spent, 20 grand in suspension. There was a lot of stuff that was behind the scenes that was no different than an actual amateur bike. So just want to let you guys know, amateur bikes, it can be done, it can be done on a professional rider. But it was it is what it is. I did the best with the equipment I had, and I went out there and beat riders, you know, and that was the goal. We were there to beat factory riders and get the best results I could, and certain nights it would go well, certain nights it wouldn't. At the end of the day, I'm happy, and I'm going to keep moving forward.
I guess that's kind of the frustrating thing. If you were doing this out of the box van, everyone would have been calling you a hero. You would have got tons of support, tons of fans coming up to you. Just because you're in a truck, everyone just presumes that you're on factory machinery.
Yeah, with expenses and bike costs and parts and stuff like that, it was well over $100,000, you know, and that's what people don't understand is going racing at a professional level, traveling on your own, you know, you got to think about it. It's not cheap from going from Florida all the way to Seattle, so you guys can look the flights up yourself on that one. but as far as travel with the actual, I'm actually glad that Rally 365 stepped up, you know, and they gave me a semi to pit out of and things like that. Yeah, if it was doing a box van, I don't think, honestly, I really don't think we would have made it all the way from New Jersey back to Salt Lake to, you know, Seattle. There's no way, you know, and we were only planning on doing my first race, if we were going to do it out of a box van, was going to be Atlanta. You know, it was because it was the easiest, it made sense, and it was we were looking at money. And especially, you know, when there's money going out and not enough coming in, it gets tough. And that's exactly what happened this year. So that's exactly the reason why we're not racing outdoors, because it's tough. You know, we can't lose another $100,000. So that's twice as much work with the motors to, you know, time and stuff like that. So, no, we did good with what we had. And I'm actually very thankful that I'm happy. And yeah, a lot of people may say that Not might be too stoked on it or however I finish, but let me go spend your money and let me put your time onto it. let me see how that works.
I guess that's another frustrating thing. People just presume you don't want to race outdoors, but it was, what, 4 years ago now that you had a 450 podium on a Troy Lee bike? So the right situation, you can, not only do you want to be there, you can contend for podiums and eventually wins.
I mean, it's not like I'm slow by any means. I don't suck. I don't know what people think. You know, I'm fast. It's just, you know, people don't want to give me the opportunities. I mean, it's and that's in both sports. You know, where if it was in outdoors or even coming to the GPs, you know, I would come over here and race if somebody gave me an opportunity. I just don't think that people understand that. A lot of people get the wrong idea where they think I don't want to race. You know, and that's not the case. It's just somebody needs to give me an opportunity to prove it. And I don't want to do it on my own, because I did it on my own and I proved the point this year that not giving up is a big successful. And that was a goal. But if people want to give me the opportunity to race, sure, why not? I'll finish. But if not, hey, we're going to just look forward to next year, Monster Cup, and hopefully Straight Rhythm.
Are you still linked to the Ride 365 guys at all, or was that deal just for Supercross?
It was just a Supercross only, I told those guys, you know, if they ever want to come down and do some videos and stuff like that, that's what, you know, that was just part of the plan, just saying a thank you, you know, because that was a huge, they didn't have to do that, they didn't have to do any of that, and that was a huge part of, you know, they went out of their way to do it, so I have nothing but good blood with me and those guys, and it was good work on those guys, so if I'm put in a situation again next year, that opportunity could happen, you know, be back with those guys, so definitely, like I said, it was definitely going to be prepared a lot more and be ready.
If you are in the same situation next year, would you choose Suzuki again? Were you happy with that decision? Do you feel like there was maybe a better path you could have gone?
That was the only choice I had. I couldn't get support from the actual factory, so I had to go out, and we hired a kid, and that he actually, his dad gave me Suzuki, so I couldn't get it from the factory. Hey, I'll get it from the dealer, however you want to do it. So at the end of the day, Suzuki was the easiest thing for me, and that was it, you know. And on 12s, my brother had he raced Suzuki, so he kind of gave me a little tips on what could work and stuff like that, so it was good for me.
Yeah, right, obviously at this point nothing's really happening. Are there any offers, any talks going on, or is it just a bit quiet?
It's a little quiet right now. We got a couple things that are in the works, but as of everything right now, I mean, nothing that's actually hit something that's on paper yet. You know, it's the same thing that kind of started a little bit like last year. You know, it's all talk. Like I said, weeks turn into months turn into weeks. You know, here comes the season. You know, so it's probably less maybe 100 days left before Anaheim 1. So teams need to start kind of jumping on the book. But, you know, like I said, we've been working. There's a couple things that have that are starting to lean towards a good way. So I started a little bit earlier this time. So if I don't find anything out, at least by close to Monskog, I'm going to start doing it on my own and plan exactly what I did this year, except for it's going to be on a better scale.
And finally, you just can't escape it. How many times have you been asked about your brother this weekend?
Oh, I've been asked about him a lot. You know, he's actually, he's been just, you know, on the chill mode right now. Yeah. A lot of people said, is he alive? Yeah. My brother's alive. So he ain't dead. I'm pretty sure everybody would know if he passed away. But no, he's just been under the radar. He's just been hanging out, man, with the kid. And we've just been hanging out, honestly. And when I get back, we'll start getting back into training mode and we'll, you know, get back out there.
I guess that's pretty cool to, like, hang out with him as just a brother, because all you've ever known is James Stewart, the racer.
Yeah, no, I mean, in my eyes, he's always, you know, always been a brother to me, you know, behind closed doors, you know, whether win, lose, it doesn't matter. We've always been, you know, very, very, very close. So, yeah, he may be behind the actual scenes, but he's always been a good brother to me. And, yeah, he's there. He's watching. You guys just don't understand. He's watching everything that's happening. So, like I said, just sit back and wait. Now, whenever he's ready to come out and say everything, just be ready. It's going to break the internet, and I can tell you that.